Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Every now and then, we're going to get a very interesting interview. This is one of them. In the studio with me is Fabian Fernandez. He's a Malaysian explorer. He's about to circumnavigate the world. There's plenty of things that I want to ask him. Let's start with Fabian. What are you intending to do in the weeks or months to come? Let's start off with that.
Okay, I will start the journey in about 10 days' time.
Okay.
Destiny and my crew will leave for Maldives as the beginning of the journey.
All right.
We leave on February 6th. That's the schedule.
Wait, from Malaysia?
Yes, from Port Klang.
From Port Klang. So you're gonna be circumnavigating the globe on a yacht.
Okay, it's a sailing boat. It's a 38-foot Hunter.
Okay.
Hunter is like the type of boat, okay. Like a BMW for a car, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's a brand. It's a cruiser. It's meant to be used for coastal sailing.
Okay.
So that's what I did. We had to upgrade the boat over the last few years to get it to a point where we are comfortable to go long distances with it.
All right. But going to Maldives is not coastal.
Yes, it's not. It will be in the open ocean for about 1,600 nautical miles, which is roughly 3,300 kilometers.
Okay.
Open sea.
Okay, so you're leaving Port Klang, you're going upwards, turning left towards Sumatra, and off you go to Maldives with you and your crew. How many members do you have?
And for this particular voyage, I have another two crew.
Uh-huh.
I actually opened this up to Malaysians,
uh-huh.
but did not get much feedback.
Okay.
So now I have a British and a Czechoslovakian with me.
Okay. I want to ask you the why very shortly. So okay. let's do the route first. Okay, so off you go. You're pushing off February 6th to the Maldives. And then you will perhaps resupply, repair the ship if there's any repairs needed, many more. And how long will you be there in Maldives?
Okay, we are leaving on February 6th. We will take us about 18 days to get to Mali, the capital.
Yeah.
And in order to meet, there is a rally being organized by the Maldives
uh-huh.
Tourism Corporation,
uh-huh.
which we are sponsored to uh-huh. by them to attend.
Uh-huh.
And so I need to be there by the 1st of March, basically. So I'll arrive a bit earlier,
okay.
God willing.
Okay.
And then just chill and wait until the rally. Do the rally for 18 days. Finish that, park up the boat perhaps a week later after sailing a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I come back again. I will return back to Malaysia, mainly because it's almost a month and a half waiting
mm-hmm.
Before the next leg, which is from Maldives to Chagos. Chagos to Seychelles, Seychelles to... Okay, and then in Seychelles, we wait again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back to why we wait.
Mm-hmm.
Seychelles, and then from Seychelles, it'll be either Madagascar or Tanzania. And mm-hmm. that would mean I've already crossed the Indian Ocean.
Indian Ocean.
Why we wait and why it's taking this time is because there is steady wind patterns, trade winds. Trade winds, when the explorers from in the old days, when they came towards the east, they always used the trade winds, hence the name the trade winds.
Mm.
So we wait for particular periods or seasons to catch these winds.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have an engine on the boat,
mm-hmm.
but the engine is meant for short distances.
Yeah, I understand.
For longer distances, it's all sail.
Yeah.
That's
so
why it takes
you have a few masts on your Hunter ship.
Yes, we have a mast and a full set of sails.
Uh-huh.
So that will take us on to Tanzania or Africa by perhaps September, October
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work our way south towards Cape Town.
Cape
of Good Hope and eventually Cape Town, where I hope to be in there by Christmas, New Year.
Okay. This is fantastic. Okay, and then from Cape of Good Hope or Cape Town, you would sail upwards towards...
The plan is... There's two. What I told my family is I've not decided whether I will do the route straight to Europe.
Mm.
That means going along the west coast of Africa,
mm.
all the way up to the Canary Islands, mm. into Europe, or Portugal, mm. Spain, mm. and so on and so forth. Most likely Portugal.
Mm.
But that's a very long trip.
Mm.
It will be Cape Town, St. Helena,
mm.
St. Helena to Canary Islands. This is a very long stretch.
Mm.
What I thought about was, let me cross the Indian Ocean first, then I have an option.
Mm.
I could go St. Helena to Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and then go up to the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and wait for a period, cross the Panama Canal to get to the Pacific side,
mm-hmm.
and in 2025,
mm-hmm.
I would cross the Pacific to the Marquesas, which is the French Polynesia.
Yeah.
That is another long trip, but a very clear, defined period to do it.
Yeah.
Once you get to French Polynesia, I plan to at least stay a year there because that's one of those places that not many people go to. I mean, you can fly to Tahiti or Bora Bora and all these things, but they cost a bomb. And not many people do this. I think not many Malaysians would travel to Bora Bora, Tahiti. It looks very Western kind of a place.
Mm-hmm.
Then once there, probably 25, I'll do that. And then 26, I make my way east back towards...
Yeah.
I will stop in Papua New Guinea. I will not go into New Zealand
yeah.
or Australia
yeah.
unless there's a reason to, because New Zealand would be a good place to do repairs. But New Zealand will mean I'll have to go south
no.
from the French Polynesia
yeah.
down. So I'll probably go towards Papua New Guinea because I worked there many years ago.
Okay.
I would like to visit Papua New Guinea again. And from Papua New Guinea, work towards Indonesia and then back to Malaysia.
So all this would take about 3 years?
I would say 26 when I get back. 26, 27. Now it all depends
so four
on
years
where...
years actually, yeah. Mm,
it all depends on how I feel after this Indian Ocean crossing. By the way, most people say the most difficult ocean to cross is the ocean, is the Indian Ocean.
Not the big body water.
Or Pacific is the biggest.
Pacific and the Atlantic.
Not Pacific is the largest. Second is the Atlantic, and the Indian Ocean is the last. But
yeah.
Indian Ocean is difficult mainly because there's a vast expanse of area with no landmass, meaning on the south. And on the north, there is landmass. But
yeah.
the Pacific and the Atlantic, you generally have landmass somewhere.
Yeah.
Pacific is big
yeah.
and quite easily predictable
yeah.
in terms of its wind patterns.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, have you always been a sailor before this?
Okay, I started off my career as a marine engineer. So I worked on merchant ships, but as an engineer, not a deck officer,
okay.
where I didn't navigate, I didn't captain a vessel.
Okay.
I was a marine engineer by profession.
Okay.
So I did sail, and I did go around the world.
Mm-hmm.
on merchant vessels,
mm-hmm.
but they are large. My largest vessel I worked on was about 80,000 tons, maybe 200 meters long, you
mm-hmm.
know, real big ships. So this is an entirely different thing.
Why? I've waited for about 10 minutes, then I'm going to ask why. Why? Because there's airplanes now, I mean. I was
okay.
like, why?
Why?
It's 3 years.
Okay. The why is because I realized I want to do something different. You see, when actually there's an epiphany of sorts. 2017, a family member died.
Okay.
You know, someone who had gone through difficulties
yeah.
and then eventually they get very successful and then they died. She died, my sister-in-law. Okay, so when that happened, I just sort of realized, you know, what do we all work? Why do we always chase after things that are... Okay, what's a typical Malaysian like? Or Asian, I would say. Career, salaries, assets. We love amassing this stuff. But at the end of the day, we were born with nothing. We're going to go back with nothing.
Mm.
But with experiences in life.
Mm.
And all the money in the world, if you don't have the health to do anything, is pointless.
Mm.
So I said, maybe I should do something different. At that point, there was no sail. I mean, I was already sailing, but it was more racing kind of sailing, you know, more hobby, not so challenging kind of thing. Then I said, okay, fine, let's create a bucket list.
Mm.
Okay, this was fun because I was watching, again, a lot of coincidences happen. I was just watching Astro, and then all of a sudden this movie Bucket List comes on.
Yeah.
It has Jack Nicholson and,
yeah.
and Morgan Freeman in
yeah.
it. Oh, very, very interesting. You know, these guys are dying. Mm. They have... So I said, okay, let's watch. Then I start to think, okay, maybe bucket list. So I start forming things that I wanted to do.
Mm.
And I said, boom, okay, I want to watch Celine Dion perform live.
Mm.
I did that.
Mm.
My favorite team is Brazil. I want to go and watch Brazil play football live.
Mm.
I went to Russia to watch them play in 2018. So I started ticking them off.
Mm.
I said, what else should I do? And I said, okay, let's try sailing around the world. not done by many people in Malaysia. Azhar Mansur did it in 99, but he was completely funded by the government or corporate sponsors. And he took the southern route, using the southern ocean. No, mean it's not an easy thing what he did, because he's sailing in the area where it's totally isolated, and he did it alone. So it's no mean, it's a difficult thing to do. Then the Sultan of Selangor, the current Sultan of Selangor, did it with Jugra. And there is another club guy from Malaysia who did it, but they all had taken different routes. I chose this route because, for instance, the island of Chagos. I think if you tell Chagos, probably 90% of the people have not even heard of it. Now, Chagos is next to Diego Garcia, which is a big American base. Hence, it's not easy to get in. I said, not a single Malaysian, to my knowledge, has ever set foot on that island. So I said, this is an island I have to go. I've opened out an invitation to the Royal Malaysian Navy to put a Navy or two guys on board to come with me. No feedback on that also. But regardless, whether they come, they don't come, but I think it would be good, because Malaysians should be seen as doing more than just, you know, building skyscrapers and stuff. You know, we should be seen as having an adventurous spirit, which shows the people of the country. And I'm visiting more than 30 countries. And this should be, and we should get this seen that Malaysians are able of to do these kinds of things, you know, on their own. You know, not having huge sponsors, a big corporation behind them, and everything is done for them. I had to plan this. It took me 4 years to plan this. It's, I mean, money aside, there's a lot of logistics, planning that goes with it. Because I ran projects in the millions when I was in my last job. I had a team with me. Here, the team consists of me, myself, and I. It's a lot of work.
We'll go for one short break before continuing on our conversation with Fabian Fernandez. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with me. I have a Malaysian explorer here in the studio with me, Fabian Fernandez. He's going to circumnavigate the globe on his yacht. Fabian, let's talk a little bit more about money. That is the key factor here. That is the most important engine or oil for your engine right now. How is it coming along? First of all, how did you start to get to where you are now? I mean, you have two crews, you have the ship, and you're ready to go. But sustaining it for the next 3 years is another kind of conversation. So let's talk about the finances element here.
Okay, what I started off doing, is that's why it took 4 years. The boat was upgraded over the years. So everything was done in bits and pieces. I mean, it took me a while to get the, say, partially repair this, do that. You know, because I do not have the funding to do it at one go. I suppose you could prepare a team and put it in.
How much is it?
100,000, a few hundred thousand.
Okay. Sorry, I had millions in my mind.
Well, look, to put it in perspective, Azhar's boat cost more than $1 million, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And that was back in the 90s.
Okay.
So, I mean, my boat doesn't cost that much, obviously, because his was a purpose-built boat. Mine is not.
Okay.
It's just a standard boat that you find in the market. It's like a production boat. That's just buying a car off the shelf kind of thing.
Okay.
So you have to do upgrades. You have to strengthen it, be able to take that kind of long voyages.
Okay.
So that part was the purchase. I mean, the purchase is the first part. Because when I bought it, it was mainly for racing, around doing the regattas in this part of the world. I never thought about doing it that way.
Okay.
Then comes the funding for the next few years. I worked on saving this over the period of time. That's why, again, because I was in a position that allowed me that I could earn a decent living and and be able to pay for such a thing. So I had to actually save it up over the last 3 to 4 years. And because my kids were already in university, and my expenses is actually tapering downwards. So I could actually put more money aside to do that.
And because of this, are you open to, you know, getting sponsors for this voyage?
Actually, I am. I've actually reached out to Malaysia Airlines. They return back and say, we don't fly to these destinations. But to me, I have friends who work in the airline industry. There is code share, and they could assist. But again, this assistance comes in the form of flights that they could put me on standby. Mm. That's just to come back to Malaysia. Mm. And for the crew, you see, initially my thought of when I was thinking about this is to share this experience with other Malaysians. Mm. That's my first and most important goal. Mm. Because when I went to sea, you had this, okay, I came from, okay, it's the first time you go into a big ocean. Mm. No clue how it looks like. Mm. And then you go out there and you say, it's mind-boggling. It's to me, it really shows how small we are in the world. Mm. In us putting it in a spiritual context, it shows there is something divine out there that created everything. Mm. And this is an experience you cannot get. I'm not saying you only do it in the water and you see it, but because when you're in the ocean, it's open, there's nothing there for maybe hundreds of miles. A friend of mine just crossed the Pacific and he saw one ship for 3,000 miles, which is roughly 6,000 kilometers, 5,000 plus kilometers, one ship in 30 days. So you can imagine how empty or vast this place is. So I wanted to let others experience this, and I tried to put it out to through my interviews in other Astro channels on radio to get them to try to get people, I mean, you know, get them on. But there was not much take up on that. So in terms of sponsors, again, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. The biggest supporter thus far has been the Prince of, Rajamuda of Selangor. Mm. Now, the Rajamuda of Selangor, because he's very much active in sailing, mm-hmm. same as his father. Mm-hmm. And he is actually, I was invited to the palace to explain what am I planning to do. And he actually was very supportive. I would say, I mean, look, I'm not asking only for money. You know, sometimes a good pat on the back, because it's not easy to do these things. And to take other Malaysians is what is my goal. Because I want the others. And I actually told Rajamuda, and when we spoke, we were actually looking at the younger kids, mm-hmm. the Olympic sailors, mm-hmm. our, you know, maybe some of our Royal Malaysian Navy. We have, even in the Navy, we have a sailing racing team. Mm. But all they do is they race in regattas. Mm. And let's be realistic. I don't think our Navy is a blue water Navy. Mm. So the chances to get them and to a place like Chagos, which is, we've never even been there. I mean, that would be a good flag waving exercise. But, you know, I don't get that support. And I think that's something that the Rajamuda is actually very interested.
Okay. What about the ideas of how sponsors could capitalize on this or benefit from this if they do, you know, be a part of your voyage?
First person I would look at is Malaysian Tourism. Now, Malaysia Tourism or even Malaysia Airlines, why I approach Malaysia Airlines directly, it's because you slap a big Malaysia Airlines logo on my sail, which is like about the size of this room, and, you know, it stands out. And you're going to countries that probably, oh, maybe they've heard of Malaysia, but they not even know where it is. This does attract a conversation. And when you deal with people of, you're going to be in so many countries where there are so many nationalities. Mm. You know, people will come up to you and they will ask. Mm. In my previous life, I was with the Malaysian palm oil industry. And I actually approached the Malaysian palm oil board I actually messaged and spoke to the director general, in fact, and asked him, you know, why don't you just support me, you know? You can slap on some MPOB stickers on the boat or something to promote Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Because my whole white sail is empty. You know, this is an opportunity. I mean, it may not result in additional trade to Malaysia, but why not? You know, it's free publicity. And I'm not asking them to sponsor my whole leg for the year. I'm just saying that use this opportunity. And in the beginning, when I talked to the Rajamuda, I was actually referring to getting them to sponsor the kids or the other deserving Malaysians on the boat. Sponsor them, not me. Because if you sponsor them, I get my crew, my main reason, because I want someone on the boat besides myself. So if they sponsored those Malaysians, then I got my crew. And those Malaysians will get an opportunity to do something that probably they will never do in their lifetime. I mean, if you're talking about a Malaysian sailor, an Olympic sailor, they would have this opportunity. And I'm asking for sponsors for them. Mm-hmm. Even then, that did not work out. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a way, I'm a bit sad that, you know, when I'm doing something like this, and a lot of these things are done with no, I'm not trying to gain glory out of it. Yes, when I come back, yes, of course, there will be a lot of reasons for me to celebrate, but it's my own thing. But to bring Malaysians on board, to let them experience what I have seen at sea, now, that's something that I think would be good for them in the future.
Okay. Of course, doing this would require a lot of mental preparation. I see you have a wedding ring, so do you feel that that is a situation where you're not just alone in doing this journey? There's a lot of people behind you as well in terms of how they need to manage your absence, so to speak. And how do you manage solitary kind of environment on long periods of on end when it comes to this voyage?
Okay, I'll be honest. I think 99% of the people that I've spoken to when I talked about this think I'm crazy.
Okay.
And even that was probably why I was still determined to get it done.
Okay.
Because one of the things that we have to understand is during the course when I had this epiphany, very frequent thing that I used to hear myself listen to was Kennedy's speech when he rallied the United States to put a man on the moon mm-hmm. within the decade. That mm-hmm. he made that speech in, I think, 1962 mm-hmm. as they were going to embark on the Apollo mission. I think, let me read that because it's a long phrase.
Please, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I actually, because I don't want to misquote it. Mm-hmm. Okay, he says, We choose to go to the moon in this decade and to do the other. These are not easy. We do this because it is hard. Okay. This goal will serve to show the best of our energy and skills, because that challenge is that one that we will not be willing to postpone, and one which we intend to win. Obviously, there was a reason behind this.
Yeah.
I mean, the win part is to beat the Russians.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he rallied a nation behind it. And he did it not because it's easy. I mean, it was not easy to put a man on the moon when they were already falling behind the Russians in getting manned space missions just to be outside of our atmosphere. And here he set a goal to get to the moon. Now, this thing, we do things not because it's easy, but because it's hard, has been always playing at my mind, because that's the way we are as Asians. We come from difficult, I mean, my generation, I think our generation, we have a difficult upbringing. We were not, there are not many middle class at that point in the early 70s, 80s. Malaysia was not known for that.
Yeah.
Malaysia is where we are now because of that big middle class that we had.
Yeah.
Those days we didn't. So all of us, including myself, when you're looking at entries to universities, for instance, you had like what, maybe 5 government universities and a couple of colleges here and there offering some diploma and twinning programs. That's all there was.
Yeah.
So we all had to fight to get, or really literally fight and compete in classrooms to get to enter university and further our education. And our parents were generally not that well off. We had to get this. So this sort of behavior is what drives me throughout my career in corporate. Eventually in corporate, this is what drives me. To get things, I mean, it's not going to be easy, so that's the one you drive, you push yourself. All these people, family members and all, you know, the more they sound negative, I mean, of course, there are people that I try to convince them and eventually win them over, especially my close ring in my family. I will try to win them over and say, look, I'm still reachable. I have a satellite phone on board. You can call me. I'm within 2 weeks, I'm already in some place which you can have mobile connections.
Yeah.
My satellite phones allowed me to call. So it's not as it was maybe 30 years ago when satellite communication was practically unheard of.
Yeah.
But there is a chance. And I've put the voyages in such a way that you reduce the element of risk in the beginning.
Okay.
Because that's where people get more nervous. Oh, you're leaving, and then it's like 1,600 miles before you reach Maldives.
Yeah.
So that's why I've got 2 crew, which both of them have done longer passages.
Yeah.
So that element of risk is reduced. The time of the year has been planned to reduce the effects of cyclone. So I'm allaying the fears of the people around me, especially the closer ones. For the rest of the others, and there are a lot of them will say, oh, does he even have the capability of doing it? You know, when I hear that, that's absolutely the reason why I have to prove them wrong. And that's one of the things that I intend to impart to the others, to the younger generation. Because what they have this thing now, which we see very less of, I would say, because in my previous life, yes, I interview a lot of young engineers up ranks. Things are so much more easier for them. You know, they did not have to struggle as much as we did when we were younger. I mean, there were 5 universities. Now you've like, I think you throw a stone, you'll hit 10 universities. You know, it's like that. So many of them. And you know, chances for you to study is so easily available. They don't have this fighting spirit. You know, this desire to chase, don't give up, do your best, chase. And when you keep doing this, this is how we grow as an individual, as a nation.
Okay, there's a lot more to unpack. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. If people reach out to you, how would they do that?
Okay, I have a blog space, and I'm on all the socials. Facebook, I'm on my social media. On Facebook is Destiny Dawn. On Instagram is Destiny 12. And my blog is destinydawnsailing.com.
Okay, fantastic. I really wish you all the best. Perhaps I'll even track your journey. And, you know, we don't have a satellite phone here, but, you know, if you get yourself to an internet, we can actually, you know, converse then as well and can get you on this show even more. But for now, that was Fabian Fernandez, the Malaysian explorer, sailor and adventurer. If you want to reach out to him, just reach out to the socials that he has just mentioned. And Fabian, I really wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You know, maybe we can have this conversation 3 years from now, 4 years from now to
see
that you have completed your very, very interesting voyage and odyssey, I suppose.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Catch you in the next one.